Welcome to Breaking Form, a podcast of poetry and culture. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I am James Allen Hall. For those listening for the first time, we do this show in segments.
We do literary games.
We revisit books that we love.
We gossip.
We do. We interview.
We shade.
We laugh.
And we are not for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, James Allen Hall.
Welcome, listeners, in your the netherest regions of the world.
Can I say, though, we have the best listeners. Like, everyone who interacts with us or follows us or reaches out, or like colleagues that I have and I know you have, and people just, you know, really support it. I'm really grateful for that. So
I am too. Yeah, I've made so many new friends because of Breaking Form.
Absolutely.
And because I'm a total dirty slut.
Well, that's part of the draw, I think. So
my sluttery.
But you all have stuck with us through like some raunch. So we know who our core community is.
There's that. You know, speaking of raunch, actually, this is a nice seg into what I wanted to talk to you about, which is, I mean, we've been in so many workshops and so many conversations, so many AWP panels, so many writers' conferences where I'm sure at some point somebody has said either, oh, this word doesn't belong in a poem, or so-and-so, my teacher told me never to use. For instance, I was in a workshop once where the word shard was used in a poem. Mm-hmm. And another writer in the class said, oh, Lucy Brock-Broido told me that people should never use the word shard in a poem. Now, I think she meant shart, and I agree with Lucy.
Actually, there. I would love if somebody could get the word shart and make the poem good.
Yeah. So actually, I think we're going to make a whole list of words that people said are like verboten. And then mm-hmm. we should all like make poetry. We should all write poems with these words.
So verboten, I think we can go ahead and put on the list.
That's on the list.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was interesting because I don't think that raunch tied into this question as much. I thought you were going to say something like things people think we shouldn't write about. So that could be another thing, but I think we address that all the time.
Oh, all the time.
So,
yeah.
But I also wonder sometimes if that advice is given, the student is studying with a professor and they're noticing a tendency mm-hmm. in their work. So, I do think it's like never, but I also think, first of all, I think you can pull off anything if you do it well. And
me
I think
too.
That's a challenge of some poets. I mean, I hate so many of the abstractions, but I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
So I actually feel like I want to challenge gay poets to write a poem without saying beautiful or the body. I feel like, and I do it too.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm not throwing stones, but I think sometimes what else is there, like, what else can we, another way to get at the things that interest us? Because is it going to get too easy just to say beautiful? You know, I know people say pretty, you know, or, but it's hard, flesh, skin, that stuff's kind of boring. But I just wonder, like, could we challenge, you know, really anybody? But I see it a lot, particularly in gay male poetry.
You got a purdy mouth.
Yeah, I would love that
like
in a
that.
Poem.
Wouldn't
yeah.
you? Yeah.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. So,
I actually write the word beautiful a lot in
you
my
do.
Poems, in drafts. It's all over my poems, but I learned, because I'm a Libra, actually, mm-hmm. this is my word in a lot of ways. It's my word that I will just say, okay, I know I have to press into that moment,
mm-hmm.
That description, that emotion further, and I'm not ready to do that right now. So it's like a placeholder word for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I do decide on it.
Well, I also feel like, though, is it going to become a cliche?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to use it up? You know, we're getting older, especially you. And I think that I do think that there's a jadedness that I have. And I feel like I've changed in my work too. It's like a little like less beautiful, quote unquote. I use that. And I think that there's something, maybe it's in my relationship. Like, I'm getting old and cranky, but I also will own my own sort of like not being able to find an authentic, and I know that word's loaded too, but an authentic sense of beauty or a real feeling of beauty.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's, I think teachers can sometimes notice the ticks in your work or the words that sort of stand in your own personal cliches, maybe, right? But it's funny that, you know, I wrote my first book while in a PhD program in creative writing. In a manuscript workshop, we had to find the word that we use the most in our book.
The.
Right. Like a noun or a verb. Right. Joking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the. Not a preposition.
Yeah.
And not an article.
Article.
And my word was ass.
Wow.
But nobody had ever told me, James, you have too much ass in your poems.
I have a similar story.
Really?
So in my book Appetite, I was fortunate until Ed retired. Ed O'Chester was my editor through the first four books. And when Appetite was getting ready, you know, was going through the proofing or whatever, he said, he's like, you say the word dick a lot. And he's like, I'm not telling you. He was so great as an editor, so yes. Pro, you know, LGBTQ, women writers. I know, I think he had a mission to publish 50% women when people weren't, you know, BIPOC writers. And he said, so I want you to know that I'm not at all saying you can't make that reference, but the literal word dick was starting to like overpower. So I put some cock in. But it was interesting though to be called out in a really productive way,
sure,
for something that you do. And it's like, but that's another, I think, gay thing. Like, it's essential if you're writing sexuality, because then we get into the whole thing, what words can you use when writing about the body? His schlong, his peen, just peen, you know, his fuck stick, you know.
Right. Which she should just have a book titled Fuck Stick.
I actually like that.
I think that the word fuck stick might appear on somebody's list of words that are not quote unquote poetic, you know.
Sure. And words that I think would be, I don't see how you could write, well, I think it would be difficult to write a poem with fuck stick,
yeah,
and the poem not be about fuck stick.
Right.
It had, yeah, just to throw it in there, you know.
But who would be the poet who could do that? Who could pull off fuck stick?
Like, and I knew that moment that I loved you and you pulled out your fuck stick. It's like, you know,
I love
like
you too, fuck
yeah,
stick.
Yeah, fuck stick. Like Sharon Olds, instead of saying cock or sex, she says fuck stick. That'd be amazing. Yeah. We should do, that's our game now. Every time Sharon Olds says cock or sex, we say fuck stick.
I don't mind that.
And we need a name for the vagina too. I mean, a new one that doesn't feel misogynistic, but we need our own, you know,
right,
for that too, to play the game. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can't be, you know, a compound noun with the last one being cave.
No.
It can't be love cave. No. I'm so over the cave. The vagina is a cave.
Like Betty, you know, it should be just like, you know, Alfonso.
Yes. Yes, Alfonso. All right. So another word I've heard maybe overused in poetry. This is like sort of the other way, like the overused words in poetry. Cicada.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I also want to throw in bougainvillea.
Oh, I have a poem with bougainvillea.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like, I think it's the language of gardening, like, yeah, and flowers. I think it's hard. So I think when people add an adjective, that's how you save those words for me. Because you somehow make that different. It's like the moon. You know, you could say the moon shouldn't be in a poem, but then I've had students this semester who have really fucking transformed moon. You know, so it makes me excited that when you can find a way to do it. So that for me is like, if you can't use a word, then can you use it but find your way to do it? And maybe it's what you're even saying we should write with them. What about filament?
Oh, You know, I totally understand that.
Or filigreed. Like, those are the ones I'm thinking. I like them.
Filicum. I like filicum.
Again, filicum, your mouth sure is purdy. I mean, yeah, sign me up for the rest of that.
No, you're right. Filament is definitely, like, after Plath's Lady Lazarus, right? It's hard to use that poem or use that word in a poem.
But the one that drives me crazy now is the word all. So it's like, we were all body, all this. Like, that one makes me fucking insane. And it's like, I think Mark trailblazed that. I really feel like he started doing that. And I've done it. Like, everything I'm saying, I've done it. Yeah. I don't want anyone to think I'm pointing fingers.
You are throwing stones, but the stones are coming from inside the house.
We are guilty girls. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's another good title, Guilty Girls, for the show. Yeah. But he was all this and all that. I think it's been used now that it's just a gesture that really doesn't mean anything. And I also to think we were body, all body. It's like, yeah, I get that all adds this extra thing. But at the same time, I think we are the thing is enough. There can be an assumption that we're all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, but it's become like this poetry thing people do. I also kind of hate
what?
Dear reader. But we say dear listener, which I love,
right?
But dear reader also for a while became really easy to me.
It was after Elena Kaliak Davis used all that dear reader, sweet reader flanneled and told is the name of the
but
the
sweet
poem.
Reader's interesting.
Sweet reader was better. Yeah, but in the poem she keeps saying dear reader. I mean, she says it like, I don't know, 20 times in that poem.
But I think there's an awareness too
that. Yeah,
but could we add dead deer to the list, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
yes.
You know, I think deer,
cops, COPSE,
yeah,
an apartment, just actually really kind of, I think what happens is that people target sort of high lyric language,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and not, what I'm arguing against is that the idea that any word is outlawed. Right. I mean, I think partly because you and I have both been outlawed just as people, right? In a culture that hates homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
The
word homosexual is hard to use too.
Oh, that's a great word in a poem.
Yeah, it's so dated in a way, you know, you're not, the gays.
I guess what we're also sort of talking about is like the authenticity of the speaker,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, is this something that feels, in the speaker's actual world, right?
The word soul is really hard.
Oh God, I don't think I've ever used that in a poem. And I've worked out of poems a lot.
Yeah, unless you can somehow come at it like somebody's referencing it or like a deep held belief or something.
Yeah, I think the only poem I know and like with it is Cavafy's Ithaca's. Like he says the monsters will not meet you along your journey unless your soul has set them up for you to meet.
Can we add journey to the
journey? Oh yeah.
But also that's Cavafy. What's a word you've put in a poem that you probably or people convention would have said you should cut it but you didn't for whatever reason?
You know, I immediately flashed to this poem I have about Rosemary's Baby in my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And I made all of these like portraits of my mother and one of them is as Rosemary Woodhouse, the titular Rosemary in Rosemary's Baby. And there's a scene in the movie where all these old people are like, it's a dream. And all these old people are on a boat and they're naked. And Rosemary like appears and she like goes on, you know, below deck and there's Satan and
that sounded so dirty. She goes below deck.
It's also a reality show that I really love. Anyway.
Oh my God, that's our vagina name.
Below deck. So anyway, I say something about like, you know, her being on this boat and all around her are naked octogenarians. And Jericho told me, you cannot say that word. Jericho Brown in school together, like he was like, you gotta cut octa. He was like, James, octogenarian. I could not tell you right now if the word octogenarian is in that poem or not. I remember it being there. So, I mean, I put it in there so much and like had so much psychic energy towards it that I believe it is, but I think I may have, I just don't even remember. Isn't that awful? I have two books of poems and I can't remember.
I had a breakup with a toxic person who used to read for my poems, and they wanted to cut everything. It was like just brutal cutting. And I do think it helped me think about excess language, but I also have to be like, there are other lenses to go through than just cutting everything. But in the new book, I say the word tandem, and I fucking love it. I love saying it. I like the poem that it's in, and I know I would, the advice would be cut the word tandem. And like, I just don't fucking want to. And I think our relationship to like our histories and what we're writing, but for me, I think it actually works. I didn't just like, I'm going to leave tandem to make someone mad from my past. It was more like, you know, I think this word works here. I like the rhythm of it in the middle of the poem.
It's so funny what people want from language and with language in your poems. I remember the poet Amy Nezukumitatl talking about her workshop wanting her to italicize this word, and the word was mango.
Oh, God.
I mean,
that's so fucked up.
Yeah, it's really fucked. I mean, God damn, it can be really racist. I had a poem called "On the Eighth Day, God Made Anal Sex," and it really made people uncomfortable that the word anal sex was in a poem.
I mean, I think it's difficult to get the words, you know, anal sex in a poem, but I also think like we're limited to the language of our past and our identity groups and where we, you know, you and I know you hate the word faggot. Mm-hmm. But for me, I definitely am in the camp. It feels like reclaiming. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the real word. And I know you would never tell someone not to use it. I mean, I know you've seen
I would tell, poems. You know, DeSantis not to use
but other queer writers, right. But you know, I do think when we get into banning, it's like you telling me that I as a member of a community who's had this leveled against me can't say it or shouldn't say it, then you're taking away my ability to tell my story, you know, and that's frightening. So if you're someone who likes cicadas, that's just shaped who you are, then by all means, we beg you to leave it in your poem.
That's right. No, I remember like having a poem about this woman calling me the N-word lover. This woman just called me that. And my boyfriend, as we were like leaving the Mark Rothko Chapel in Houston, she just like, I remember how she smelled, what she looked like, very grand dame kind of lady. But then trying to write a poem about that moment, which really was sort of wrongheaded in a way. And two, like, you know, I was in grad school. I was still learning how to write a poem. Mm-hmm. You know, I've really like fought over, like, can I put that word in a poem? Like at the end of the day, I don't want to be another white person who says that word.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
I just don't want to be. And I know you join me in this. We don't want to be one of those people who are like, well, every person should be able to use any word in a poem, because that's not true.
Oh, God, no.
Right? There's a history to language. Mm-hmm. There's blood and suffering in that history that has to be respected.
Well, I think also when we were in graduate school, it was very much like you read it the way it's on the page, you represent it honestly. And now I'm older, I look back and think that was just white supremacy not wanting us to not have access to something. Right. Like I thought it was like some literary rule, and I always believed it was sort of like we're respecting what the writer said. And I mean, I think it was a real shake for me to be like, oh, you know, even being near a word, even when you're trying to represent something honestly, like there's still things that we don't have to have access to. Like, that's why DeSantis is so disgusting. It's like he keeps saying like normal, we'll get things back to normal. And it's like, no, you don't like having in any way to maybe concede something that you don't want to deal with.
That's right.
You don't want to be uncomfortable. Right. And I think that's really grosses me out. Yeah.
And you don't want to see queer, trans lives as normal, mm-hmm. Black lives mm-hmm. as normal, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. The word normal. We're getting it back to where, you know, hierarchy. I get to do this and everyone else shuts the fuck up. I think he's going down the ship, and I think he needs a good moisturizer. He always looks terrible.
Oh, exactly.
So, his family, we fucking hate you.
Yeah. Just a real proper fuck you, a real proper breaking form fuck you to Ron DeSantis and anyone who works on his campaign.
Yeah, it cares. Yeah. Fuck you.
And, but first of all, that's our word. Camp is our word. You can't have it mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there another? Let's. All right. If we could end this on a light note. The word panties. I have a friend who can't stand the word panties.
I think it's a problematic word, but I hear it used very well. You know, I think sometimes it usually, is. I think sometimes.
Yeah. Usually when they're being stuffed in your mouth.
Yes. I mean, I've read an essay on that. I've read one. I always can never find it, but it's an essay the woman like really goes through and discusses. Like, it's like, you know, we don't say briefies, you know, we don't sexualize. Right. I mean, I sexualize men's underwear, like sure. those new bike jock strap commercials, like they look just worn. You can still see like the balls and the dick like lines in it. You're like, oh, I want to sniff that. Like I love, you know, jock strap things and they're in the locker room and you just know, like,
yeah,
God, you feel all that thrilling shame and sexual desire.
Oh my God.
Ooh, we're gonna log off.
Do you even know what we're fact checking right now?
We are fact checking crimes against diction.
Yay! Correct. I'm so glad that you got that one right.
And there may be an implication in your question that I am high. I have not had any marijuana.
No implication. No, you seem completely unhigh, and I feel sadness is what I feel. Yeah.
Yes. Me too.
So I want everyone to know I looked up my own poem for this fact check. My poem, Portrait of My Mother as Rosemary Woodhouse, in my first book, Now You're the Enemy. I say elderly men and women lounging naked instead of naked octogenarians. So my friend prevailed upon me that the diction of naked octogenarians was crazy. So I say elderly men and women.
I forgot that they were naked on a boat. Like, I don't remember a boat scene. And I saw the movie. It's just funny when you said that, I was like, I don't remember that. So
yeah, they are on a catamaran or something, or a skidamarinkadink.
Okay.
And Lady Lazarus, the poem by Plath, does use the word filament in it. Plath writes, "What a million filaments. The peanut crunching crowd shoves into sea, them unwrap me hand and foot, the big strip tease."
See, but that's fucking incredible.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
And lastly, the poem Ithaca by Cavafy is translated by Edmund Keeley. So who knows? I don't know. I don't read the original Greek that Cavafy wrote in. So I don't know if he uses the word soul, but certainly the translation by Keeley uses it. And that poem is so incredible. It's one of my favorite poems. I end every semester reading that poem to my students. And that poem, Ithaca, is a longer poem, but I will read the last part of it. "Ithaca gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you wouldn't have set out. She has nothing left to give you now. And if you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. Wise as you will have become, so full of experience, you'll have understood by then what these Ithacas mean."
Lovely.
Thank you. I'm not even wearing my good bra.
Now you can replace Ithaca with fuckstick.
Fuckstick!
What these fucksticks mean.
All right, girl. I hope you enjoyed the episode, listeners, and we'll see you next time. Hey, everyone. If you enjoyed today's Breaking Form, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Breaking Form Pod. Review us with 5 stars on Apple. And we'd love it if you'd support us by buying our books. Links are in the show notes. And remember, we're not for everyone, real proper breaking form fuck you to Ron DeSantis and anyone who works on his campaign.